message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But can we be sure about that? I mean, where is Jesus? Dallas is right. We haven't seen him. We were not there to witness his preaching and teaching. We never saw Jesus perform any miracles. We were not there when they nailed him to the tree. We were not there when he rose up from the dead. We didn't have a chance to see him ascend to heaven either. So how do we know that Jesus even existed? You know, many people in our world today could easily speak the same words that the Apostle Thomas spoke when his fellow apostle said, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas answered, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Have you ever been tempted to have those thoughts? Maybe you have said to yourself, "If only God would give me some obvious, tangible sign that Jesus is real, then it will be much easier for me to believe." We live in a world where many people will believe only what they can touch and see. I remember back when I was 19. It was the summer after my first year of college, and I was working in my hometown at Hart's Food Warehouse. During one of our breaks, some of my co-workers who were fellow Christians with me, we were having a conversation about Jesus. But one of our other co-workers overheard us, and he said, "Guys, I used to believe in God when I was a little kid, but now I know better. There is no God." Of course, we were shocked. One of my friends said, "But how do you know there is no God?" And here's what our unbelieving co-worker said. He said, "Well, I've never seen God. Where is he? If he wants me to believe in him, he can just make himself visible and convince me. Until that happens, I won't believe." So are we simply wasting our time and energy and money on this congregation? Our mission statement that we recently formed reads as follows. "The mission of Concordia Lutheran Church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in its truth and purity." Did you hear that? The main reason we exist is to proclaim the good news about Jesus, who was crucified for our sins and is risen from the dead. But we've never seen Jesus. We've never touched him. How do we know if any of it is true? You know, many in this world probably do think we are foolish. Many today think it makes more sense to depend on things that we can touch and see. In fact, some will even go to great effort to prove that what we preach about Jesus is wrong. For example, most of you, I'm assuming, have heard of the popular book, The Da Vinci Code. Raise your hand if you've heard of it. Maybe some of you have even read it. In fact, a major motion picture has been made about this book. It'll come out in a few weeks. Now, the scary thing about The Da Vinci Code is that it denies basic teachings of the Christian faith. This book denies that Jesus is God. It denies that he died for our sins. It denies that he is risen. Now, sadly, many people have been influenced by the Da Vinci Code, and these same people now doubt that Jesus is risen. Should we begin to doubt too? We can't see Jesus. We can't touch him. Why should we believe? Well, first, allow me to dispel the modern myth that we can only be sure about what we can touch and see. The fact is, my friends, people today believe in many things that they have never touched or never seen. For instance, we believe that a man named George Washington was born, lived, and died. We also believe that he was the president, the first president of our nation. We believe this to be true, even though not one of us ever heard him, or saw him, or touched him. We also believe that the earth revolves around the sun. But guess what? No human being has ever actually observed this. We are willing to take certain prescription medications, even though the experts are not quite sure how they work, and even though we did not personally witness how these drugs were manufactured. We are willing to get on an airplane, even though we do not do a prior study to see if the airplane actually works, nor do we do a personal interview with the pilot to see if he's competent. We also believe that American astronauts landed on the moon, even though we were not there to see them land. Of course, someone will say, "But Pastor, I saw it happen on TV." So what? How do you know it wasn't all just a bunch of special effects made in a Hollywood studio? I could go on for hours. My point is that we believe in many things that we have never seen, never touched, never observed for ourselves. Why do we believe these things? Because we trust someone's word. We believe what people tell us. So the question is, whom are you going to trust? Many people trust the Da Vinci Code, and now these same people refuse to believe what God says to us in Holy Scripture. What's really sad is that these people who believe the Da Vinci Code have never personally verified the claims made by the author. They simply trust what he says. And this is really tragic because several books have been written that clearly show that the claims made by the Da Vinci Code are actually based on sloppy research and outright fabrications. In fact, many things we find in the Da Vinci Code are pure fiction. Even the author admits this. And yet, people have abandoned God's word because they choose to trust the Da Vinci Code. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You can be sure this is true. Why? Because you have God's word on it. Unlike our reason and senses, which are limited and are often wrong, God knows all things, and his word is truth. So it's not surprising that the first thing the devil said to Eve was this: "Did God really say?" And the devil continues to whisper that evil lie to us today. He says, "Can you really believe the Bible? I mean, you never met Jesus, you never saw him die on the cross, you never saw him rise from the dead. Are you sure you can believe it?" How should we respond to the devil's question? I mean, wouldn't it be easier for us to believe if God would simply give us the visible, tangible evidence that we want? Wouldn't it be easier to believe then? Not really. Think about it. Jesus could appear right now bodily in person, but that would make no difference if we still had our sinful hearts filled with doubt. If we insist that God must constantly satisfy our reason and senses, then we have made ourselves judges of God. And if this is our attitude, then we will always be looking for one more bit of proof, and we will always be asking God to explain himself to us. Think about it. 2,000 years ago, many people did see and touch Jesus. They saw him work miracles. Some even had visible proof that he had risen from the dead. And yet, some would still not believe. But some will say to me, wait a minute, Pastor, why wouldn't God give us visible evidence? I mean, Jesus allowed Thomas to see him and touch him, didn't he? Yes, he did. And Thomas then said, oh, my Lord and my God. However, Jesus knew that Thomas's faith would soon fail because it was based on human reason and senses. That means Thomas would never be satisfied, and he would always be asking for more proof. That's why Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. My friends, I have good news for you, and you already heard it in miniature form from Dallas. The good news is that Jesus was speaking about you. You have been blessed. You can believe that Jesus is your risen Lord and Savior. You can believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. In fact, he died on the cross for your sinful doubts as well. And he has given you a new heart that trusts his word. You see, each one of us here is guilty of being a doubting Thomas. And since my name is Thomas, that label really hits home. But God has forgiven my sin of doubt when he nailed it to the cross. And he has forgiven your sinful doubt too. God has also given you and me the gift of faith. The Holy Spirit has worked through God's word to give us faith in the fact that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, who was born, lived, died, and rose again, ascended, and will return. We believe that because the Holy Spirit has given us hearts that trust God's word. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read the following. Listen closely. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. My friends, we were not there when God spoke the universe into being, but we believe that he created all things because we trust his word. In fact, the ancient people trusted God when he told them that he would send a Savior into the world. And they believed that this Messiah would be their Savior, even though they knew they would not be alive to see him born or die or rise again. They believed because they trusted God's word. And in the same way, we believe that Jesus was born and lived and died and rose from the dead because we also trust God's word. We heard about this in our first reading from Acts chapter 3. Let me read a portion of it again. This is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying this about his Christ, that he would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Did you hear that? Jesus will return visibly one day, and every eye will see him. But sadly, not all will believe because many refuse to trust God's word, even when God will be standing right in front of them. But you who believe have been blessed. Your sin of doubting God's word is forgiven, and the Holy Spirit has given you a new heart that trusts what God says. So until Jesus returns for all to see, we continue to trust God's word. In fact, that's why we believe that Jesus is also with us right now, even though we can't see him. Because Jesus himself said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." But how is Jesus with us? Well, in our reading from 1 John, we heard that Jesus came to us by water and by blood. Now, what does that mean? Well, on one level, we have to remember some key events in Jesus' life. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, God opened the heavens and said, "This is my Son." And when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he said several things. He said, "Father, forgive them." He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." But there's more. You see, the same apostle who wrote 1 John was also the apostle who was standing right in front of the cross when Jesus was being crucified. And when John was there, he also witnessed something else. Let me read to you from John chapter 19 what John witnessed. "One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe." Now, what does John want us to believe? He saw blood and water coming out of Christ's side. He saw this. He wants us to know that he saw it. What is it he wants us to believe? Simply put, the blood and water that flowed from Jesus' side is a sign from God, a sign of how Jesus is with us now. Jesus comes to us in the waters of baptism, where he washes away the guilt of our sin, including our sinful doubt. And in this water of life, he gives us new life. And we believe this because of what God's word teaches us about holy baptism. Jesus also gives us his blood to drink in Holy Communion, so that we might know that our sin is forgiven and that he actually physically dwells in us. And we believe this about the Lord's Supper because of what God's word says about this gift. One final thought. Think about it for a second. We are often more than willing to believe the word of men who are so often wrong. How much more then do we believe the word of God, who is perfect and will never let us down? That's why the Holy Spirit moved John to write these words that we heard in our reading earlier. Listen carefully to them again. John writes, "We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart." As Dallas said in our children's sermon, you are blessed. You are blessed because you believe, even though you have not seen Jesus. The Holy Spirit has given you new hearts that trust God's word. Therefore, you believe that Jesus is your crucified and risen Savior who will return for you one day. You believe God's testimony about his Son. You have been blessed. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.